So we'll be in Proverbs chapter 6. This week has been fun. For me and Samantha. Seems like everything that could go wrong, not everything, but quite a few things have gone wrong, which has made it difficult to study and prepare. And to focus. So you get what you get this morning. If it doesn't work out, then just take the good and trash the bad or flush the bad. We'll see how everything goes. So this message is going to be on preparation, Bible-based preparation. And we're going to go to the ant and look and study. There's a lot of things that we can prepare for. There's a lot of things that we do not prepare for. There's a lot of things that we cannot prepare for. We have no control over it. This week is one of those instances where me and Samantha had absolutely no control over. Well, depending on where something came from, we could have had control by not showing up at that certain place. But other than that, there was no control over that. The hurricane that came through, no control. There's a lot of theories that are going on about how the government controlled the hurricane and direction and stuff. I don't know, don't really care. I just know a lot of people got injured, devastation and so forth. That's what I want to focus on. If it ends up being these theories are true, then let's deal with that later on. But right now, let's just focus on the people that are going through suffering and heartache. But other than that, if you don't believe the theory, then we have no control over the weather. But we know somebody who does have control over the weather. Actually, two people. We know that God ultimately has control over the weather, but we also know that the prince of the power of the air has control over the weather, and he wants to destroy human lives. So God uses these things, as Ray prayed, people are being saved. The gospel is going out. So we see that God is working these things for his glory and for the good of believers, and souls are being saved. But we could say that the devil is moving and orchestrating and causing devastation. So how can we be prepared? What ways can we be prepared? So this is going to be a lot of practical application stuff. We are going to look at some scriptures. Of course, we're going to go to Proverbs first. But a lot of it's just going to be practical stuff. What can I do today to prepare for life's events tonight and tomorrow? So let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. I don't know how much you know about ants, but they're busy. They're busy from the time that spring comes and they're able to come out of the nest that they're at, and they're busy until they go back down to the nest and then they hibernate. But even while they're in the ground, they're still busy. They're still functioning. There's different types of ants. I'm not even going to tell you how many it is. It's thousands. But they do different things. They are always preparing for something. I'm bad about it, and I know it's not right, but I'll see an ant nest, especially the fire ants, and I'll go over there and I'll kick it just to see what happens. And of course, they rupture out and they come out. The reason being is because they got to get that nest prepared again before nightfall or before rain comes or something else happens. So they are constantly busy. They are constantly striving to make sure that they are prepared for whatever's going to come for them. So this is what the writer is telling. He's telling his child, he's telling his son, but it's also for us too. Being prepared for life's events as much as possible. Now, ants can't control if the anteater is going to come in or if a human being is going to come in and knock the nest off or something like that, or if we're going to use some kind of bug spray. They can't prepare for everything, but they try their best as much as they have the capacity to do that to prepare for what may happen. So this is what we're going to look at this morning as we go forward. It seemed like the table's far this way. Bible-based preparation, what it means, what it looks like. We're going to talk about this a lot as we go through these slides, but the number one thing is it is not fear and it is not worry. If we're hoarding up things, and we're going to look at the different things that we can do as far as preparation, if we're doing that because we're afraid of what might happen, then that's not Bible-based preparation. So walking by faith doesn't release us from the responsibility of preparing. The ant doesn't worry nor complain, it just does. The ant prepares. The ant is focused, determined, and relentless. We know that God created the ant, give it its sophistication, how it's controlled, how it does things, their incredible strength for their size, and so forth. So we have all of these things that we know from science that shows that God is just so powerful that he can put all of this power and all of this intellect inside of us. A lot of these ants are so small you can barely see them. And yet if you got them up under a magnifying glass, they've got six legs, they've got antenna, they've got eyes. I mean, they're sophisticated beings. And then think about who we are and how God created us. So we're going to look at these different areas or realms of our lives and how we can be biblically based in preparation. So physical, mental, social, financial, political, and spiritual. We live in a time of chaos and uncertainty. We absolutely understand that. The moment that really when we're born into this world, it starts that chaotic process. And we just continue on. It's not love, joy, peace, and happiness. Not all the time. But our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. And yet we're to prepare. We're supposed to be making sure that things are taken care of. And yet our God has overcome the world. So there is laziness disguised as faith, whereby someone sits idly by while others are actively prepared. For the sake of time, we're not going to look at these verses, but you can jot them down. It's just talking about, 2 Thessalonians talking about if they don't work, they shouldn't eat. So we're supposed to be busy. We're supposed to be providing and preparing. But a lot of people will say, que sera, sera, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Let's just eat, sleep, and be merry. Let's be happy. Let's enjoy life while it is. And they don't participate in preparing for anything that's coming along. And then when something does happen, they're looking for everybody else to take care of them. That's not faith-based, Bible-based preparation. And that's not true Christianity neither. We just don't sit idly by. The flip side of that is there is busyness disguised as obedience, whereby someone frantically works, worrying that they won't be prepared. And Matthew 6:25-34 goes with this. It talks about those who are worried and concerned. They need to come to the Lord and trust in him. We find this always, and especially during a storm or something like that, my mom, she used to pace back and forth, just worried. I mean, of course, she had three little children at the house, or the mobile home, which I love the sound of the rain on the tin roof, but my mom was scared to death when she heard the rain coming through when we were living in a mobile home. So she was frantic. She was worried. She was concerned. She was not walking in faith. She was living in fear. Our dog still does that. The reality is that we are to plan, prepare, and provide while steadfastly trusting in the one who himself is our provider. I'm going to jump ahead and step over Moses and David right now, and we're just going to go to this word. So it's Yahweh Jireh or Jehovah Jireh, and it means the Lord provides. Genesis 22:14. Does anybody, just top of your head, know what that is? The account. Abraham and Isaac walking up the hill. It's a nice day, going for a picnic. You know? They get up there, all right, well, you got this, this, and this, but where's the lamb? Well, God will provide. The Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Notice that they were obedient. They had taken everything that they could in preparation for what God had told them to do. So they were walking by faith, and then the Lord provided all that they had needed. So if we jump back to Moses and David, Moses in the Promised Land, he was to be the one who would take the Israelites across the Red Sea, across the river, and into the Promised Land. Notice that Moses never went to the Promised Land. Now, he didn't go because he had sinned, but he didn't go to the Promised Land. He prepared the people to go to the Promised Land. Same thing with David. David, because of he was a man of war, he was not going to build the temple. But yet he was told to prepare all of the things that Solomon would need to build that temple. So again, God is the one who provides. We are the ones who activate our faith by obedience, by doing the things that he calls us to do. So active faith is dependency upon God while preparing for an uncertain future. So God is the certain entity in our lives. He never changes. He never wavers. But all around us, the circumstances and the situations of our lives, they are constantly changing. And we, a lot of times, cannot control any of that. So we know that our God is true and faithful, yet we are not to be idle in this life. What I always tell myself is that faith is the starting point by grace through faith. And in Ephesians 2:10 says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So the obedience always follows faith. I want to be a faithfully obedient believer. So we're going to start with physical first. Of course, you know, the hurricane came through. A lot of times we cannot control any of that. We can't prepare for a mudslide unless you just don't live on a hill or something like that. But other than that, you really can't control a lot of the situations that come through. Tornado hit our property in 2018. I had no control over that. I was sitting in my house looking out the window this way. The tornado's coming this way. I had no control over that tornado. I had control over me and what I could do, which was to get into the basement. So that's all I could do. I could not control the wind. I could not control the waves or anything else going on. Couldn't control the trees, how they landed or anything like that. So physical, and there are some things that we can do. They tell us that we need to make sure that we have food, shelter, and clothing. These are our basic necessities. If we can meet these needs, then the other things that we acquire in our lives are basically these are, I forgot the word, I had the word and then I forgot the word. Luxuries. Even though we probably don't consider them luxuries. If we have food, we have shelter, we have clothing, no matter what it is, then the rest of it is really a luxury. So food, it is recommended to have at least 72 hours worth of food and water stored for emergencies. That's per person. Who in here has that? A couple of people. A few people. This is so important because they say that 72 hours is the usual time frame for emergency to come in. Now, we saw with the western side of North Carolina that they still haven't reached some places going on 3 weeks. But if you've got 72-hour starter, then at least you're a little bit of ahead if something does drastically happen. What I find fascinating about this message that we're doing this morning, if you go back 50-100 years, our ancestors always prepared because they didn't have a convenience of a store or something like that. So they were constantly preparing, not necessarily worrying or living in fear, but they were preparing because they knew that life was going to happen, winter was going to come, and so forth. They knew that they weren't going to be able to go out and so forth. We have lost that, urgency to prepare. We've become complacent in a lot of areas of our lives. So physical again. So just having some basic necessities of food and water. You think about water now. So Caswell County was out of water for a little while. Then you had to boil your water. And now they're still telling you probably not to drink it a little bit. Well, it's city water anyway, treated water. But still, Asheville is still trying to get their water back on. And even then, they're telling people not to drink the water. It's non-potable water. You can boil it. You can take a shower if you need to, but do not drink that water. So if don't think that, well, I've got 72 hours of food, but I don't have any water, and I'll just worry about the water when the power comes back on or something like that. If the water's contaminated, what are you going to do then? Gone are the days where we can go to the creek and stick our mouths in the water and drink the water. I would not do that, even though growing up I did. Next thing is shelter, a means to get out of the weather to be safe. That's a broad term. Doesn't mean that you have to live in a two-story mansion. It doesn't mean... Whatever it is, that's what you live in. It could be a tent, it could be a cave, whatever the Lord provides for us and we're satisfied, we're content with that. And that's the main thing, is being content with what the Lord has given us. And we as Americans, we're so content with everything we've got. No. Clothing, being content with the Rustlers and the Bobos. Again, anything beyond the basic necessities is a luxury. For us, if we have multiple pairs of shoes in our house. Probably that much dust on them. Multiple pairs of clothing, socks, and so forth. And a lot of people around the world don't have that luxury, and that is a luxury. So, again, just being prepared for things that are going to happen. For me, being prepared is I'm going to have a jacket. For Samantha, being prepared, she's going to be able to take the jacket off because we've got temperature variations in our lives. But making sure that we're prepared for the things that may happen. So looking at the mental side of it, this one's a little bit difficult because life throws stuff at us all the time. And we can prepare, but when that life event happens, it can shake you to your core, and you can hopefully bounce back. That's what resilience is bouncing back after something happens. But it may take you a little bit or a period of time to do that. But it's important to have mental preparedness. So it all goes back to our thinking. What am I thinking about? Thinking will get you in trouble, especially if it's your imagination and you let your imagination run wild. It will lead you to a lot of different things. And in our imagination, it feels so real, and yet it'll never happen. And yet you could base life experiences on what you were imagining in your mind or a dream or something like that. And we have to be very careful. So what am I thinking about? That's how I can prepare mentally. Truthful things, factual things, real things. Not worrying about the conspiracy theories that are out there, and even though some of those are coming true, but not dwelling on those things. Not dwelling on what happened in the past or what may happen in the future. But living in the present and thinking about those things that are true, thinking about those things that are real, just going to Philippians chapter 4 and memorizing these verses right here and just focusing on that. And Paul lists out these things in Philippians chapter 4, and he talks about things that are good, things that are true, things that are noble, and so forth. And ultimately, he's telling us to think on the Lord Jesus Christ because that's a perfect picture of who he is. So keeping our minds on Christ. Another important thing with preparation is allowing our minds to be renewed in the Word of God, which means taking time to study the Scriptures and meditate upon the Word of God. So I cannot change the past. I know a lot of us, if I could go back yesterday, if I could go back 20 years ago, how life would be so much different. Well, that's not going to happen. We're here and now. How can we affect now for God's glory and for our benefit? I cannot know for certain what the future will happen. What will happen in the future? I'm speaking more physically. Spiritual realm things, we have some understanding, and ultimately God is in control, and we can trust Him for every single situation. But I don't know if me and Abby's going to go home today, and the car's going to break down, tire's going to blow out, we're going to hit a deer or something like that. None of us know any of that, and there's no reason to worry about it. There's no benefit in imagining and contemplating what ifs as they relate to what has already happened and what may potentially happen. That does nothing but produce fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, and so on. So again, just going back to Philippians chapter 4 and just focusing in on what that's saying and who that is talking about. So the social aspect, I'm a good one to be talking about being social. We're talking more about community, though, and how to build that network of connection for if something does happen. Who can I depend upon? So community, who's got my six? I didn't know what that meant. I had to look it up. My sister has said that a lot with her sons in football and all of that. I'm not a sports person. That's what she would always say, but anyway. It's a military term. World War I is when they started saying that, dogfights and so forth up in, and the pilots would say, I've got your six, which would mean another pilot was behind them to protect them. ladies seem to be better than this than me or men as far as community. These are some things that we're going to talk about right here. But building the community for if something like this happens. So the fuel gets to $20 a gallon. The internet and the cell service is out. The CBF continue. And that's really something that we need to think about. How many of us live in Caswell County? Less than half in this room. We're still a part of this meeting, though. We have chosen, we have prayed, we felt like God has led us to this local meeting. But what happens if fuel gets up to $20 a gallon and your income doesn't increase in the same rate and you have to make difficult choices? What happens if Starlink's not available and you have something that happens like in the western side of North Carolina, internet and cell service goes out? You can't reach Jason. He's in Caswell County and I'm 20-some minutes away if I drove. Now think about walking. So you start factoring in all of these things. What's going to happen if something drastic takes place? The CBF continue. I believe it will. This local meeting will continue. It may have to change a little bit. And I'm not doing doom and gloom or anything like that, but being prepared for something that may possibly happen. We in America, we live in luxury. We don't have persecution like other believers around the world do. But other believers around the world, these are situations that they're thinking of. Just because it hasn't happened here yet doesn't mean that it won't. We pray that it doesn't, but we don't know. If I have a physical need, who do I call? Who do you call if something happens? Samantha goes down to the basement and she falls down the steps and breaks her leg and I'm out of town. Who's she going to call?
911 or call Abby.
She better call somebody. I'm up under extreme mental duress, whatever that is, depression, anxiety. I feel like I don't have any reason to live, whatever it is. Who do I call? Let's say that you don't have 911, you don't have 988, you don't have these numbers that you can call, but you still have the numbers of people within this local meeting. Who would I be able to call on and that person would rush over or at least stay on the phone with me until I got some proper help? Am I prepared to respond if I get a call? For me, I start thinking, man, if you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, whew. But I've had those phone calls, and what did I do? Got up and went over to wherever I was needed to go. It ain't funny, and it ain't fun, but you do what you have to do. So basically, building that community so that I've got a network where I know who to call. If it's something drastic and I can't get to the hospital, especially in Caswell County, I mean, this is a county that doesn't have a lot of health professionals. You've got EMS or something like that, but the nearest hospital is what, Danville? Danville-Reesville, looking at 30 minutes maybe, depending on where Caswell County you're at. So I know that they're going to be a while, but Jason's next door. I'm going to go to Jason. At least he can do something until the Calvary gets there. So knowing who I can call and what they can do for me. If I got a major car issue, calling Michael. At least he can walk me through something. I won't say, hey, can you come over here and fix it? But I hear a noise and this noise is like this. What do you think it is? You know, walking us through these things. But having a network, a community that can help us. Financial. I think all of us are probably feeling that a little bit. So dollar bill, y'all. Money, money, money. Our economy, the devaluing of the dollar, inflation, increased prices of goods and services, cost increases in insurances, increased taxes, wages not keeping up, etc. All of us are feeling the squeeze. Who here is not feeling the squeeze? I was going to ask you for a handout. I'm sorry. Nobody raised their hand. So all of us are feeling the squeeze at one way or another. And I don't think it's going to get any better. Just trying to be honest on that. So what can we do to prepare for these things that are happening to us? They're already happening to us. We really do not have control over a lot of these things that are going on. They are beyond us. They go back to our local, state, and especially our federal government that dictates what happens to the money. So we're all feeling the squeeze. What can we do? One of the first things we can do is start looking at our debt and trying to reduce it. So what steps can I take? What steps should I take? What steps must I take? I remember for a long period of time, me and Samantha were struggling. I did not go out to eat. I worked with somebody. They were training me at the time. They would go into the restaurant. I'd get a water, or I'd bring my lunch, or I'd do something like that, because I was not going to pull out that debit card, because I was worried if that debit card was going to say declined or not. I did what I had to do because I knew that I did not want any more debt. The struggles that people go through are usually the life lessons that help us to not go back to mistakes that we have made in the past. Sometimes they don't, and we end up making those mistakes again. So it is recommended to have at least 6 months of money for expenses saved as an emergency fund. That's a Dave Ramsey thing. He probably got it from another financial person. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've got that or not. Strive to have that. That's just a cushion so that if life does happen, and life will happen, you've got something to bounce back on besides a credit card, which are shooting up at 30% right now. I told you this message is going to be a lot of practicality. Always keep in your mind about the ant and the diligence of the ant. The diligence of the ant means that it never gets sick. It never stops. It continues on until it dies. It is constantly preparing. That's the way we should be. Going back to Moses and David and thinking about their preparation, and they never got to see the end result, even though they prepared. I can prepare my 72 hours of food, and the Lord raptures me out, and I start thinking, well, you know how people are. They're going to come to your house, and they're going to come in, and they're going to start looking for food. So they're going to see my Bibles laying around. They're going to see tracts laying around. They're going to see the food. So hopefully they're going to start grabbing the tracts and the Bibles too while they're grabbing my food and my water. There's things like that. You're starting to think, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. I just want to make sure that I'm providing for my family. I'm prepared. But if the Lord should take me out, there was no regret in doing what I did, because I wasn't worried or anxious while I was doing it. I was just being prepared. So again, it's recommended to have 6 months of expenses saved up. If you can't do that, start where you're at doing what you can and work on this as well. I am not a financial person. I'm not good at math at all. So if you need financial stuff, don't come to me. I know there are some people in this room that are good with money, know how to do finances and stuff like that. Go to one of them. Political. Oh, my goodness, we can't talk about this. We'll go ahead and skip that. Oh, it's still there. Sorry. No, we're going to talk about it. I have one brother. I have never met him, but I communicate with him on Facebook, and he said, pulpit's not for politics. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not for that. They're talking about it everywhere else. We might as well talk about it in here. And we talk about it from a biblical perspective so that we go out armed with understanding, prepared to make right decisions when we go to the voting box and so forth. So we don't care to talk about it. Many believe it should be avoided in the churches and from the podium. It affects our lives every single day. We should be thinking about it and talking about it, not worrying about it. We're studying 1 Timothy, and me and Joe, we're going through chapter 2, and it talks about praying for all men, especially for kings and for those in authority over you. And both me and Joe, we were convicted. You mean I got to pray for that guy, for that woman, for those people? That's exactly what we need to do. If I'm praying for them, then I'm not frustrated about what they're doing, and I'm not worried about what they're going to be doing. I'm trusting the Lord. So it does affect our everyday lives. It impacts us physically, mentally, socially, and financially. You can even add in spiritually, depending on how worked up it's getting us. It matters if we engage in politics. It matters how we engage. It matters who we vote into office to represent us. We have the luxury of having a constitutional republic where we have representatives that we send to Washington or we send to the local governments and so forth. A lot of places, they have a monarchy, or they have a dictatorship, or they have something like that, where their vote really doesn't matter. They really don't have a voice. We do have an opportunity here. So I'm not going to tell you who to vote for or not to vote for. If you want my opinion, I'll share it after the meeting. Come up to me, and I'm more than willing to tell you who I'm planning on voting for. But these are my three top reasons how I vote for somebody or a policy or so forth. You may add some to it. You may not agree with this, but this is what I look for when I'm talking about somebody that I'm going to be voting for. So abortion. Everybody in America is talking about it. There's so much division over it, even to the point where people are fighting, physically fighting with each other and so forth. People are going to jail because they're protesting in different ways, mainly because they're protesting against abortion. So it's something that we need to look at and we need to talk about. So will that candidate, that representative, promote the murder of babies? I never like to just say abortion. I always say the murder of babies, the taking of a life. That way it's in your face. It's not just the removal of cells and DNA and so forth. It is the deliberate action that kills a life. So that's one of my top ones. Where does that candidate stand on this issue? The next one is Israel. Why is Israel so important to the church? Because God said so. That's all that matters. No other reason is necessary. It doesn't matter how unbelieving Israel is right now. None of that matters. All that we are told to do is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that God is not finished with the nation of Israel yet. So that's all I need for me to be supportive of them. Doesn't mean I support every decision that they make, but they have their right to exist as a nation. So will the candidate, the representative, support the right of the nation of Israel to exist and recognize Jerusalem as the capital? So if the candidates are lining up with this, okay. The next one right now for us, we see this, I mean, it's just like a train pushing through, LGBTQIA plus agenda. Will the candidate, the representative, support the nuclear family, one man and one woman marriage? If you know anything about the trans movement specifically, then you know that people who support this most of the time do not support this. Does that candidate support the biblical creation truth of two sexes, male and female? And does that candidate reject the pseudoscience of multi-genders? Right now, I don't know how many thousands of genders that they say there is. That's not science. That's a mental illness. And I've studied enough about mental disorders to know that that is a mental illness. So which candidate will do the least damage? Not which one lines up with my beliefs perfectly, but which one, if I vote for them and they get into office and they enact laws and so forth, will do the least damage in these areas. And that's who I'm going to be voting for. So the spiritual side of it, and this is really the most important thing. This encapsulates all of these other areas that we talked about. So how can I prepare myself spiritually? We walk by faith, not by sight. If I walk by sight, what's going to happen to me? Depending on my viewpoint, my foundation, I might be happy right now. I might be discouraged right now. I might be depressed, anxious, fearful, worried, afraid, guilty. The list goes on of the reactions and the emotions that we may be having with all of the things that are going on in our lives. So if I'm walking by faith, not by sight, that's where we start off at. Know that situations and circumstances in this life are part of a much bigger picture, most of which we cannot see with our eyes, hear with our ears, or touch with our hands. All of these weather events that are taking place, we have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. We just know that God is good all the time, no matter what's happening. God is from eternity to eternity, and here we are in the present. He envelops all of this. He is in control of all things. So this is how we're going to summarize all of this from a spiritual standpoint. We prepare physically, we prepare mentally, we prepare socially, community-wise, financially, and politically. If our spiritual preparation kept us spiritually minded, we would respond differently to the other areas of our lives. Again, I wouldn't be worried about storms in life that may be happening, but I would be preparing. I would not be worried or anxious or fearful, but I would be thinking on my good God who loves me and is there for me. Socially, community-wise, it would cause me to want to be around believers because that's backing up this spiritual aspect. There are so many different people coming together in Western North Carolina. They don't care what political realm you're from. They don't care if you're a military or if you're a civilian. They don't care if you're emergency responder or if you're just a neighbor coming in. They don't care. They just see a community coming in to help each other. The church can do even better than that. Some of the first people on the scene in Western North Carolina were churches, were Christians. Amazing. So we would respond differently if we were so heavenly minded, we would be a whole lot of earthly good. So physical, mental, social, financial, political, and spiritual, often a tragedy can be a faith-shaking, rocking us to the core of our beliefs. Be prepared as much as humanly possible. We can't prepare for every single situation of life, but we can start doing little things. I can prepare with 72 hours of food and water, but it's not going to stop a mudslide. But at least I was preparing, but something came along that I wasn't prepared for, and God will still get me through that. Be impacting those around me with eternity in mind. Every moment of every day is an opportunity to reflect Christ in somebody's life. Make the gospel central in my actions and my words. Again, spiritually minded. Start where you're at, doing what you can. Just a recap. So physical, 72 hours of food and water for each person in your home. Easiest thing you can do is go down to Aldi's or Food Line or something like that and just buy you $20 worth of canned food, something like that. I mean, just starting small. Bottle of water, as far as I understand, it lasts indefinitely as long as it's closed. Once you open it, you got to use it, but as long as it's closed, it lasts indefinitely. I don't trust the plastic, but still, that's what they say. The mental aspect, learn about and implement one way to reduce stress. How many of us have ever experienced stress? How many of you feel like you're still stressed? How many of you feel like you're a little bit overstressed? Okay? So learning ways to get that stress out, some kind of stress relief, prayer, meditation, a hobby, breathing techniques, exercise. Exercise will actually take care of both of these. Exercise is a good way just to refocus and redirect. Social, that community aspect, getting to know your neighbors. We have yet to do that with neighbors across the street. I did see that they had a political sign out this morning that aligns with my viewpoint, so I thought, hey, that's pretty good. Always with your family, trying to work things out, building a community with them. Even if you don't really communicate, can you call upon them and they would call? You might be a little bit of a distance between y'all and so forth, but can you still count on your family? Church, can we count on one another? Can we build a community with each other? Even though driving distance can be a barrier, I think we're doing pretty good. We can always improve, but at least we're trying to love each other. In that community, getting involved, finding out, especially within the local church, what's my gifts that I can use in this local church? What kind of talents can I bring in? What kind of ministry can I be a part of? Teaching ministry, song leading, Sunday school. I had so many notes on here, and it didn't do right, and I couldn't see them, but I was just thinking in my head, what can we do community-based? You can do community gardens. You can do community. I mean, there's so many different things that we could do as far as this church reaching out into our community. Building that network. I'm not a gardener. Samantha's not a gardener, so I'm not the one, like, if you want canned, you want to be canning food to prep and stuff, I'm not that person. But if you want meat, me and Samantha do pretty good with that, chicken, rabbit, and so forth. So each of us have our abilities, our talents, and so forth, and we work together to get things done. Financial, work towards saving a six-month emergency fund. Also start working toward paying off your debts. Dave Ramsey again would say pay them off from lowest to highest. Political, early voting start at Thursday. You have until November 2nd to vote early, and then November 5th is the election. Yes, I'm from the podium telling you, go out and vote. I'm absolutely telling you that. Not going to tell you how to vote, but express your views in the ballot box. And of course, spiritual. Set aside time each day for Bible reading, for meditation, meditating upon God's Word, meditating upon Him as a person and what He's done in our lives. And prayer, communicating with Him. Get into the habit of having some tracts in your hands, in your pockets, in your vehicles, and so forth. And make it a habit when you go out into public. I'm not a person that's going to walk up and say, hey, you know the Lord. That's just not me. But I'll leave a tract with a tip. If I go into the restroom, I'm not going to leave it at the toilet, but I'll leave it at the sink where hopefully they've already washed their hands and they'll pick it up or something like that. But just thinking about, what can I do? God has left me here to do something. To prepare people for eternity is the most important thing. And we do that by sharing the gospel. I hate to say be busy, because that's not a term I like to say, but be like the ant, preparing. And there's so many different ways that we can do that. Just look at these ways, how God has led us to do different things and move forward. We'll close in prayer, and then Jason and Neil have to come up real quick. So, Father, we just thank You this morning. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for preparing the way. We think about John the Baptist as he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who has prepared the way of the Lord." The Lamb of God who would take upon Himself our sins and nail them to the cross. We think about our lives and how burdensome they seem, how worrisome they can be. And yet You just ask us to prepare in different ways. To not worry, to not fear, to not be in a frenzy or anything like that, but just to prepare. Most of all, You want us to prepare spiritually. You want us to share the gospel and to be a light in this darkened world. So we pray that from a spiritual standpoint, we would be preparing people to meet You as best we can as far as sharing the gospel and living out the gospel, preparing for hard times that may come, and just rejoicing always because we know that ultimately You will take care of us. We think about the lives that have been lost in through these hurricanes, these last two events that have happened. And I pray and I hope that many of those were believers that lost their lives, but we don't know. But we do know that if they were believers, there's no more worry, there's no more concern for them. They are in the presence of their God. But there are a lot that are still hurting, and we thank You for the churches and the Christians that have gone in and are ministering both physically and mentally and spiritually to these people. And we pray that it would be a great awakening, that many souls might be saved. We think about our own county here, and we know that we have plenty of church buildings, but a lot of them seem to be empty. So we pray that we, who represent Caswell County and Rockingham County and Guilford County and Roxborough, Person County, and so forth, that we would be the witnesses where You've called us. We just thank You and praise You for today. We thank You for all that You have done for us. In Christ's name, amen.